Hey there. Welcome to a deep dive about deployments.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you might be thinking, deployments, that sounds kind of technical. And you're right, it can be. But it's also the bridge between all the cool code being written and people actually getting to use the software. It's where the magic happens. We are going to break down this topic using a guide called The 10 Pillars of Pragmatic Deployments by Matthew Casperson.
I've heard of that.
Have you heard of it? Yeah, it's a great resource,
It is.
especially since it comes from Octopus Deploy. They live and breathe this stuff, so you're getting insights from the trenches, not just theoretical ideas.
Yeah, and the word pragmatic really stood out to me.
Oh,
You
yeah.
know, it suggests that we're not after a rigid set of rules,
Right.
but rather trying to understand the core principles that make deployments smooth and well successful.
Exactly. And that word pragmatic really stood out to me too. It suggests that we're not after a rigid set of rules, but rather trying to understand the core principles that make deployments smooth and well successful.
Yeah, it's especially important these days with the shift towards releasing software more frequently. Some companies are even deploying multiple times a day.
Wow.
That kind of pace demands a really robust deployment strategy, or things can quickly become chaotic.
So it's like having a well-oiled machine, a pipeline that takes code from a developer's computer all the way to a user's device.
Exactly. That's your deployment pipeline.
Right.
And to keep that pipeline flowing smoothly, we need to start with the first pillar, repeatable deployments.
Okay, so repeatable deployments. This reminds me of something Matthew said in the guide. Imagine baking a cake. You want that same delicious result every time, right?
And that's where automation comes in.
Okay.
Automating your deployments as much as possible takes out the potential for human error
Race.
and makes the process much more predictable. It's like having a recipe for your deployments.
So it's not just about automating the steps, but also making sure you have a complete snapshot of everything involved.
Absolutely, you need to capture the code,
Right.
the configurations, any scripts you're using, the whole shebang.
Wow.
It's like creating a time capsule for your deployment so you can recreate it exactly if needed.
That makes a lot of sense. And I see how this ties into concepts like continuous integration, continuous delivery, and continuous deployment.
Those are all about making deployments a smooth, repeatable process.
Right.
Think of it this way: with continuous integration, every time someone makes a change to the code, the system automatically builds, tests, and packages a new version.
Okay.
Then continuous delivery takes it a step further by automating the deployment to a testing environment.
So it's like this constant flow of changes being tested and validated, and then continuous deployment takes it to the extreme.
Continuous deployment takes that automation all the way to production. So if the code passes all the tests, it's automatically deployed to your users.
Oh, wow.
It's a pretty advanced approach, though, and many teams find a good balance by automating up to a certain point and then introducing some manual checks before releasing to the world.
That sounds wise. It's like having a safety net to make sure everything's really ready for prime time. So we've got our code flowing through the pipeline and we're deploying it in a repeatable way. But how do we know it actually works once it's out there?
Well, that's where the second pillar comes in.
Okay.
Verifiable deployments.
Verifiable deployments. It sounds like this is all about testing, but maybe a different kind of testing than what we're used to.
We're talking about tests specifically designed for the deployment stage. We start with smoke tests.
Okay.
These are quick checks to make sure the basic functions of your application are working.
Okay.
For example, if you have a website, a smoke test might just send an HTTP request and check for a response.
Okay, so you're making sure the application is basically alive. What comes after that?
Next up are integration tests.
Right.
These ensure that different parts of your application are working together properly.
Okay.
And then we have the big kahuna,
Oh boy.
end-to-end tests.
End-to-end testing, is that like testing the entire flow of how someone would use the application?
End-to-end tests mimic real user journeys through your application.
Okay.
For example, in an e-commerce application, this might involve testing the entire process of adding items to a cart, going through checkout, and completing a purchase.
Oh, wow.
It's a way to validate that the whole system works together seamlessly.
That makes sense, and I've heard of another type of testing, chaos testing.
Chaos testing. This is where things get interesting.
Okay.
It's about deliberately introducing failures into your system to see how it responds.
Okay.
Think of it like a stress test.
Gotcha.
A famous example is Netflix and their Chaos Monkey tool. It randomly shuts down servers to make sure their streaming service can handle unexpected outages.
So it's about embracing the chaos.
Yeah. Right. In a controlled way, yes.
Okay.
By doing this, you can build confidence that your system can handle real-world conditions and recover gracefully from failures.
That's pretty fascinating. So we're building confidence in our deployments, testing thoroughly, making sure things work as expected.
Yes.
But what about the user experience? Nobody liked it when a website goes down or an app freezes during an update.
Right.
How do we make sure deployments don't disrupt users?
That's a great question and brings us to the third pillar.
Okay.
Seamless deployments.
Seamless deployments.
This is all about minimizing the impact on users during updates.
So we've talked about making deployments repeatable, verifiable,
yeah,
and even seamless for the end user.
Right.
But let's be honest, sometimes things still go wrong.
Uh-huh.
How can we make sure our deployments are recoverable when, you know, the unexpected happens?
That's where the fourth pillar comes in.
Okay.
Recoverable deployment.
Recoverable deployment.
It's all about having a plan for when things go sideways, because no matter how much we test and prepare, sometimes Murphy's Law just kicks in.
Murphy's Law, that's the one about anything that can go wrong will go wrong, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what kind of plan are we talking about here?
Essentially, when a deployment goes awry, you have two main options.
Okay.
Rolling back to a previous working version.
Okay.
Or rolling forward by quickly developing and deploying a fix.
So rollback is kind of like hitting the undo button. Just revert back to the last known good state.
That's the idea, however, especially when databases are involved. Rolling back can get complicated.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sometimes it's actually cleaner and easier to roll forward, meaning pushing out a fix as fast as possible.
That makes sense. Each approach has its own challenges.
Yeah.
What are some of the pros and cons we should consider when deciding whether to roll back or roll forward?
Well, rollbacks are great because they return you to a known good state.
Right.
Which can be very reassuring, but they can be tricky to test. And sometimes the rollback itself can fail, leaving you in a worse position than you started.
Ouch, that sounds like a nightmare scenario. So rolling forward gives you more control over the fix, but it also means your users are experiencing the issue until that fix is live.
Exactly. It's a trade-off. You're aiming for the fastest resolution with the least disruption, but the best approach depends on the specific situation.
It sounds like having clear visibility in what's deployed is crucial in these situations.
Absolutely.
Knowing exactly what's running where and what changes were made could really help speed up troubleshooting, right?
Absolutely. And that leads us to the fifth pillar.
Yeah.
Visible deployments.
Visible deployments.
It's all about having a clear map of your deployment landscape.
Okay.
You want to know what's deployed, where, what changes were made, who made them, essentially a complete audit trail of your deployment process.
So it's like having a detective's notebook for your deployment.
Exactly.
What are some of the tools or practices that can help us achieve this level of visibility?
Well, it starts with good communication. Mm. Clear commit messages that explain code changes are essential.
Right.
You should also link deployments to issue tracking systems so you know what bugs were fixed in each release.
That way you can connect the dots between code changes and the problems they solved.
Exactly.
And what about those cryptic build logs? Are those part of the visibility picture as well?
Absolutely. Build logs provide a deeper level of insight into what happened during the deployment process.
Okay.
Making those logs accessible and easily searchable can be incredibly helpful when diagnosing issues.
It's like being able to see the inner workings of the deployment machine.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of things that can be cryptic, what about dependencies? Mm-hmm. Those external libraries and components that our application relies on, do those factor into visible deployments?
Definitely keeping track of library dependencies is crucial, especially for managing potential security vulnerabilities.
Right.
You need to know exactly what's being used in your application and whether there are any known issues with those dependencies.
It's like making sure all the ingredients in your software recipe are safe to use. So to sum up visible deployments, it's about having a clear understanding of what's deployed, where, what changes were made, who made them, and what external components are involved.
Yeah, it's about transparency, traceability, and accountability throughout the entire deployment process.
Okay, so we've covered the first five pillars, which laid a strong foundation for a solid deployment strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's more to this story, right? What about the remaining five pillars? How do those fit into this framework?
Well, the remaining pillars act as crucial support systems, helping you refine and optimize your deployment process.
Okay.
They focus on making your deployments measurable, auditable, standardized, maintainable, and coordinated.
So those last five pillars are like the behind-the-scenes crew, ensuring everything runs smoothly.
Exactly.
Let's start with pillar six, measurable deployments.
Okay.
What does it mean to have measurable deployments, and why is it important?
It's all about tracking key metrics to understand how your deployment process is performing. You know, the saying, you can't improve what you don't measure.
Right.
It applies perfectly to deployments as well.
So what are sort of the metrics we should be tracking? I imagine deployment frequency would be one. How often are we pushing new versions to production?
Exactly. Deployment frequency is a great indicator of your team's agility and efficiency.
Okay.
Another important metric is lead time for changes, meaning how long it takes for a code change to go from a developer's machine to production.
The shorter the lead time,
yeah,
the faster you can deliver value to your users.
Right.
I'm also thinking about recovery time. If something goes wrong, how quickly can you get back to a working state?
Your spot on recovery time is crucial, especially in today's world where downtime can have a huge impact on your business.
Right.
You also want to keep an eye on your deployment fail rate and change fail rate.
Okay.
These metrics can help you identify bottlenecks and areas for improvement in your process.
So it's about gathering data to make data-driven decisions about how to make your deployments more efficient and reliable.
Exactly. And this data feeds directly into the next pillar, pillar 7.
Okay.
Auditable deployments.
Auditable deployments, it sounds like. This is about accountability and transparency.
It's about having a detailed history of who did what and when we want to know who deployed which version to which environment, what changes were made to the deployment process itself, and who approved those changes.
It's like having a security camera for your deployments, capturing all the details. Why is this level of auditing so important?
Well, it's crucial for both internal accountability and for meeting any regulatory compliance requirements you might have.
Right, because in some industries, having a clear audit trail is non-negotiable.
Exactly.
And of course, it's invaluable for troubleshooting. If something goes wrong,
yeah,
you can trace back the steps and see who was involved.
Exactly. A solid audit trail is like having a time machine for your deployments.
That's a great way to put it. So we're measuring our deployments, we're auditing them. But what about consistency? How do we ensure that deployments are done in a standardized way across different projects and teams?
That's where pillar 8 comes in.
Oh.
Standardized deployments.
Standardized deployments.
It's all about creating reusable deployment processes, like templates that can be applied across different projects with minimal customization.
So instead of reinventing the wheel every time you're building on a solid foundation, why is this standardization so important?
Well, imagine if every project in your organization had its own unique deployment process. It would be a nightmare to manage and maintain.
It would be chaos. So by standardizing, you're reducing errors, promoting best practices, and making it easier for teams to collaborate and share knowledge.
Exactly. And it frees up your teams to focus on the unique aspects of their projects instead of getting bogged down in the mechanics of deployments.
That makes a lot of sense. And this leads us nicely into pillar 9.
Okay.
Maintainable deployments.
Maintainable deployments.
We've talked a lot about deploying new features and updates, but what about the ongoing care and feeding of those deployments?
That's a great point. It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of shipping new things.
Right.
But maintaining a system is just as important as deploying it in the first place.
What are some examples of these maintenance tasks that often get overlooked?
We're talking about things like diagnosing issues, collecting logs, performing backups, restarting services, all those essential but often unglamorous tasks that keep the lights on.
It's like the difference between building a house and keeping it in good shape over time. You need both to have a functional and comfortable living space.
Right.
So how does the idea of maintainable deployments fit into the bigger picture?
This pillar reminds us that those maintenance tasks deserve the same level of attention and rigor as our deployments themselves. They should be repeatable, verifiable, visible, measurable, and auditable. We shouldn't treat them as afterthoughts.
So it's about applying those same principles of pragmatic deployments to the ongoing care and feeding of our systems. Makes sense. And finally, we arrive at pillar 10, coordinated deployments. This sounds like it's about bringing everything together, connecting deployments with other business processes.
You're exactly right. Coordinated deployments recognize that deployments don't happen in isolation. They're often part of a larger workflow, and they need to be synchronized with other activities within the organization.
So it's like a beautifully choreographed dance with deployments flowing seamlessly alongside other business processes.
Exactly. It might involve getting approvals from the right people, notifying stakeholders about the status of deployments, ensuring deployments happen in the correct sequence, or even integrating deployments with external systems and events.
It's about breaking down silos and ensuring that deployments are a well-coordinated part of a larger picture.
Precisely. And by doing so, you can avoid conflicts, reduce errors, and make sure everyone is on the same page.
This has been a fascinating deep dive into the world of deployments. We've covered all 10 pillars. from the foundations of repeatable and verifiable deployments to the supporting structures of measurability, auditability, and coordination. I'm curious, what are your key takeaways from all of this?
I think for me, the biggest takeaway is deployments, they shouldn't be an afterthought.
Right.
They're not just a technical hurdle, you know, to overcome.
Yeah.
They are really a critical business process,
mm-hmm.
and they should be treated with the same care and attention as any other aspect of your operations.
That's a great point. It's about shifting our perspective and seeing deployments as an opportunity to streamline our work, improve reliability, and ultimately deliver better software to users.
Hmm.
We've talked about so many different aspects of deployments, but if you had to choose just one metric to track the success of your deployment process, what would it be and why?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
There are so many valuable metrics to consider.
Right.
But if I had to pick just one, I would go with deployment frequency.
Okay.
You know, it's a powerful indicator of your team's agility and efficiency.
Mm.
The more frequently you can deploy while still maintaining quality and stability, the faster you can deliver value to your users and respond to changing needs.
That's a great choice. Deployment frequency really captures the essence of a well-oiled deployment pipeline. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the 10 pillars of pragmatic deployments, we want to leave you with a question to ponder. Think about your own deployment process. How can you apply these principles to make your deployments more robust, reliable, and maybe even a little bit more enjoyable? Until next time, happy deploying.